This land is your land. This land is my land. From California, well, to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, I tell ya, this land was made for you.
National Voter Registration Day is on Tuesday, September 26th this year. Organizations all over the state will be participating in the event day by holding voter registration drives. All of the league's 50 local leagues will be having drives throughout the state of New York. The league also operates a nonpartisan electronic ballot website, www.vote411.org. The ballot site provides nonpartisan election information about all of the candidates the New Yorkers will be voting for in November. To tell us more, we welcome Jennifer Wilson, Program and Policy Director for the League of Women Voters of New York State. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you here. We also welcome Kathy Kobrick from the Saratoga League. Kathy, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Joe.
And Patricia Sebelia of the Albany League. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you. So, Jennifer, let us begin with you. Have you done this National Day before? Has this been something that's been done in the past?
Oh, yes. We've done it quite a few years now. And last year, we had a great turnout at our local leagues' tables throughout the state, all over the state, all the way up to the North Country, all the way down to Long Island, all the way out to Buffalo, up in Syracuse. We had them all over the state.
And what does it afford you? What does it allow you to do?
So it's just a great day to gather people's attention on registering to vote, making sure they're registered in time, and making sure that we have everybody see these booths all over the state, see them at colleges, see them in public places, see them at their local Starbucks, their local grocery store, and remember, oh yeah, I need to register to vote. It's going to be election time soon, and I should probably get registered.
Let's just take Are the deadlines statewide? So if we want to vote in the Albany election or in the Saratoga election, those deadlines are the deadlines, right?
Yes. October 13th, actually, is Friday. October 13th is the deadline for not just registering, but also to if you want to change your party so that you can vote next year in the primaries. So a very key date is October the 13th.
Okay, so if I want to vote in the November election this year, if I'm in by October 13th, I can vote.
That's correct.
Yes. And okay. Also, if you want to change your party affiliation for next year, the time to do it is now, October 13th.
Okay. And that'll give all the county officials and everybody else the chance to make the necessary changes so we don't have any problems.
Yes. And if you are not registered in a party, you will not be able to vote in the primaries next year in 2018. So it's very important that people realize that they have to do this before October 13th if they want to say in the national elections that are going on next year.
Right. So in congressional elections, where in at least in much of New York State, we expect there to be primaries. If you want to vote in those primaries, you would have to be a registered member of that party to vote in the primary. Okay, let's talk. I'm interested in your thoughts from all of you as to why is this, and I'm only going by the numbers that we see that tell us that in some cases more than half of the people don't vote. So what is, first of all, great growth opportunity for all of you. So what is the reason for that, do you believe? Why do people, even if they are registered, do not ultimately show up? And what, as a culture, as a society, as a civic responsibility, can we do that we can do individually to make that not the case? A big question. I'll ask Kathy first.
Okay. Well, I think that people just aren't aware of how to register to vote or what the deadlines are. That's one of the things. We need to get the word out. This is a national effort. Last year, they registered over 700,000 people that hadn't been registered before, and most of them were under the age of 35, which is very important. Because
right.
If people start voting when they're younger, they'll probably vote for the rest of their lives. If they don't adapt that habit, they won't. So that's one of the biggest things, is making people go into the voting booth the first time when they're young, and they'll know that it's important. What was the other part of the question?
Well, the other part of the question is just how do we get it into people's heads that it's a part of being a citizen, that it's important for us to go out? Because even if we're registered, we don't vote. You raised your hand. Aren't you nice? So, very, very nice.
Thanks for
Patricia, thank you very much.
Well, I think that what we've been really focusing on in the Albany County League is civic education.
Yeah.
I believe that there's just not enough of it out there to get people really engaged, and they don't always understand. So having just worked the primary poll, for instance, there were a lot of people who walked in and wanted to be engaged, but there was no primary in the actual party that they were enrolled in. So, you know, there's some people who are on the fringe of they want to, but they're just not educated enough. And then there's those who basically are just not engaged. When we do, when we've gone out and tabled to get people to register to vote, you get people who walk by, say, nope, not interested. And getting them engaged is very difficult. I know in Albany County, we're lucky, I think, we have 68% of the population that is enrolled. However, only 60% actually voted in last year's general election. So,
but that number is higher than most places.
It is higher than most places. I think we've talked about get out the vote, which is, you know, not just getting them registered, but the ability to follow up and see do they get to the polls. And that takes a lot of effort and time that is, you know, we need to get more volunteers engaged to get that going. And of course, we're supported in that effort by a lot of the parties who want to get out the vote. So a lot of it is just education, I think. We need to have a lot more civic education. It's one of the things that our league is looking to really promote more. But it's also really trying to reach people, as particularly on the day, to get out and vote.
Similar situation in Saratoga?
Well, yes. I don't have the statistics on how many people are registered to vote percentage-wise in Saratoga County. But, yeah, at farmers markets and things like that, we have people that will walk by and say, no, I'm not interested. And also, we are going to plan this year trying to have activities for the general public to talk to them about their civic responsibilities. We feel that that is our role as the League of Women Voters, because people just don't understand how important it is. And this is the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in New York State. So we want to kind of push that too and make people realize that you have to fight for what you believe in. And it could take years to get an issue resolved that you want. Civil rights, women getting the right to vote. So I think that's part of our whole effort, is raising awareness.
Jennifer, let me ask you about Vote 411, of what that does and how that helps in these efforts.
Right. So this is a program that, as you mentioned, is nonpartisan. All of the information in there is taken directly from the candidates. So the local leagues will actually reach out to the individual candidates and have them fill out this information. It's basic information like their experience, their background, their qualifications, and then also specific policy questions. And you can compare candidates side by side. So you can see all the candidates running, all the races that you're going to be voting on, see their responses side by side. And then at the end, you can print this out and bring it with you to the polls on election day.
So you can be, God forbid, an informed voter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I do have one comment, though. Sometimes we don't get the responses back from the candidates, and that makes it very difficult, because it's almost unfair to the population, to the people who want to vote and be educated, if the candidates won't respond to us. So if they're listening, I would encourage them to respond to our request for information.
Just as Jennifer was saying the answer, I was going to ask you that question, because I had heard in the last election cycle that I believe in some states was a record non-response from candidates. I don't quite get that. You have to run on something. Is it you don't want it in writing, or what?
Well, we let them answer in their own words.
Right.
We never would edit unless it's something that actually is offensive or we find is attacking. But I find that it helps us engage with the candidates a lot, and we are very aggressive about trying to get it. We found this year in trying to prepare Vote 411 for the primary that there was more actual engagement than we've seen in the past. And I think because the word about it is spreading, and where a lot of candidates don't get, local candidates, I'll say, don't really get the coverage in newspapers. Newspapers are targeting that broader audience that isn't the local audience. They have found that they really can say what they want to say. So our involvement has come up on the primary for this past primary. We're now gearing up for the general. We'll see how that goes.
How much of all of this, though, is a catch-22? I mean, if you say you want to get more people involved in the process, and so that you have that problem, and yet you also want to give voters the information about the candidates, and yet the candidates may not be giving you the information that you want to get out as the league to give to voters, and there becomes an apathy. And then once the information is provided, will they actually log on and look at it and make a detailed examination as to, okay, this person may be of my political faith, however, I agree with this, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, you know, the lack of information for candidates is really frustrating. We do always try and at least have if there's a campaign website, if they have a Facebook, if they have a Twitter account, we do always try and include that. So at least voters will have something to look at. And I mean, when candidates don't respond, it definitely affects the people's opinions of what these, you know, what these candidates are going to be doing when they're in office if they can't even be bothered to respond to this simple questionnaire. But another thing the league does is candidate forums and candidate debates. And that is such a huge part of what our local leagues do. And Saratoga and Albany are fantastic with this. So I'll let you guys talk about what you guys got going on this year.
As far as getting the candidates out and bringing them to the people and letting people ask some questions, right? And that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did, for the mayoral in Albany, we actually did 3 candidate sessions for the primary. But we also have outlined, for the general election in Guilderland, Bethlehem, and Colony candidate forums. And a lot of this is that we push that the questions come from the audience. So, you know, we and I think this is probably true of the other leagues as well. We hand out cards, ask people to submit questions, and then we have question coordinators who then pose it. So it's the people being able to really target the questions they want.
Go ahead.
Well, in Saratoga County, we are partnering with Warrensburg County also.
Yep.
One of the towns up there in Thurman has asked us to do a candidate forum for their town council. We're doing a event for Saratoga Springs, for the town of Wilton, for the town of Malta. And we were going to do Milton for the primary, but that kind of fell through. But we're pretty excited. And we also let people come up and just come up to the mic and ask the questions, too. We find that works well in some situations.
I apologize for getting all political on you here, but we are talking about voter registration and electing people to represent us to office. But we have seen over the last, I mean, we've seen this for a long time, but especially over the last 9-10 months, where even the politicians who have been elected, of bringing them into a room of their constituents, of the people who voted them into office, to ask those questions, to have that open mic, have been very reluctant to do so. Not in all cases, certainly, but in many cases. And I'm interested in your perspective as league representatives and officials as to how that screws up the process. I mean, if we're going to find out what's going on, and I realize there can be a lot of anger in the room, and sometimes people don't want to face that anger, and they feel that they can do a better job one-on-one if they do that job one-on-one, but that it's very, very hard now. You vote for somebody, and then you can never have that contact time again. I'm not saying that that's the league's responsibility, of course, but it has to figure into your overall thought process of how you deal with this kind of stuff.
Well, one of the things that the league does is a good job at setting down the rules of how things are going to go and what we expect from the audience and also what we expect from the candidates. And it's pretty much the moderator's responsibility to shut down if someone's making a personal attack,
right,
to remind them that that's not going on. And we have had incidences where we've had to tell people, I'm sorry, that question is not appropriate, and have had to have people escorted from the room. And because of that, that gives us a pretty good reputation around. I mean, we've been contacted from some towns in Saratoga County that have said, we find you to be very fair and balanced, and we want you to come and run our event for us. And that's kind of why we were asked to go up to Warrensburg, too, because they need some help in keeping things civil.
Yes.
And we are, you know, a lot of us, some of us are little old ladies, are, you know, and it's hard to be mean to somebody who's up there and is being polite and setting down the rules.
Well, you have the credibility, and having hosted and moderated many debates with the leagues around this area, it is it's nice to have you there. You know, with the telling us how much time we have, and that this is I'm not going to screw around with that. That's a good process, but after that, and even after the elections, this whole process of then getting the people back in the room to talk, mm-hmm, and to have the dialogue and to have the information with the people, that seems to be where much of the process is broken.
I think it is. And unfortunately, I think that needs to change, and it's up to the people to press for it. I know that when we do program events in Albany, we try to include elected officials so that they are coming in on a topic, a single topic. But it's still, you're absolutely right, it's very difficult at times when an elected official does not show up to really engage with the public, and not sure how much we can really deal with that.
Well, you can learn more about the National Voter Registration Day by going to nationalvoterregistrationday.org. nationalvoterregistrationday.org. That link will be posted along with this interview, and certainly a great first step in the process. You can also go to vote411.org and to see that nonpartisan electronic ballot website as we come up to the November elections. Kathy, Patricia, Jennifer, thank you all very much for being with us, for sharing your information, for the great work you're doing in the community, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the time.
A great pleasure. Thank you.
Tom.
Again, NationalVoterRegistrationDay.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.